Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Bridge City Church, North Braddock. You've got plenty of welcomes, hopefully already, but if you didn't get enough, here's one more. Hi, my name's John. I am the pastor here at Bridge City Church, North Braddock, and I'm excited that you're here with us now as we jump into several weeks of what we commonly refer to as standalone messages. Usually we're preaching through a series. We just wrapped up a seven-week series through the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and chapter 3, where we were looking at the seven letters that Jesus sent to seven churches in the ancient world. And so we're jumping into standalones. And so I'm excited. Man, you want to stay locked in here, especially over these next several weeks, because you're going to be hearing about vision. You're going to be hearing from some amazing speakers. You're going to be hearing about faith. And today I'm super pumped because today we're going to be talking about something that unbeknownst to me, going through this and hearing the worship and hearing Dave and Lindsay share there just a minute ago is how do we navigate negative situations in our life, right? We sang about firm foundation, and we love that. It's like, yes, I've got a firm foundation in Jesus. And see, that's important because you don't need a firm foundation when everything's good. I mean, you do, but it's not that necessary. But it's when the wind and the waves of the storms of life come that we need to have that firm foundation. We need to know that Jesus has a love for us that is unlike anything else we've ever experienced. So when we feel like everything else in our life is unloving or just not going the way, like Lindsay said, the ladies in her group help her when things don't go the way that we seem or think that they should go, how do we hold fast? Because I would be shocked and amazed if I was the only person in this room right now who had ever been in a situation or even a season of life where you've wondered, how did I get here? Where am I going? What is happening? What did I do to deserve this? How am I gonna get out of this? Because here's the thing, I can't even see a way out of the mess that I'm in. And maybe today you're in one of those situations or in one of those seasons. Or maybe you're coming out of one. Or maybe, unbeknownst to you, you're on your way into one, because here's a reality: as we live in a fallen world that is infected with sin, that you are either in a storm, on your way out of a storm, or on your way into a storm. And so you better get ready to deal with storms in life, because storms have a way of causing us to feel frustrated and demoralized and defeated, and we just want to give up. Has anybody ever been there before? Because storms will do that. And so today we're going to be looking at a passage of scripture where we see individuals actually trapped in a literal storm. And we're going to be finding encouragement, instruction, and even some things, some careful what not to do's when we're trapped in a storm. And so if you have your Bible, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 27, a friend of mine who pastors an amazing church in Monroeville, Greater Works Outreach, Pastor Gary Mitrick, he always says, you know, God gave us the book of Acts so we could know how to act. And I think he gave us the whole Bible for that, but it sounds really good when you say it on a stage. And so we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 27. And just to set this up, what's going on in Acts chapter 27, we're seeing an instance in the life of the apostle Paul, right? This chosen man of God, this amazing apostle who started churches and helped Christianity spread. I want you to think about it right now. There's about the same amount of people in this room right now as there was in a room back in Acts chapter 2, about 2,000 years ago, that Christianity started from. And so Christianity was birthed from 120 men and women gathering in a room for 10 days praying and seeking the Lord. And now it has spread all over the world and continues to grow today. And the Apostle Paul was a big part of that. And a lot of times we like to think if we're important to God or if we're blessed and highly favored, which we always say, that the bad stuff's never going to happen to us. Well, if that's the case, then they've never looked at the Apostle Paul's life, because it seemed like bad stuff, no matter what, kept happening to us. Not because Paul was out of alignment or in disobedience, but it was actually because Paul was truly and fully following the call of God on his life. And so in Acts chapter 27, we see the Apostle Paul. He's getting ready to fulfill what he feels like is one of the big parts of his call, was to go to Rome, and then from Rome, go to what was considered the edge of the known world at that time, Spain. Because he wanted to take the gospel as far as he could. And so Paul has this noble endeavor. He has this call of God. He's living his life. He's suffering. He's sacrificing. He's being selfless to fulfill the call of God on his life. But Paul's not about to get on a cruise ship and be sent away with missionary support. Paul is actually about to get on a prison ship, because Paul was arrested for a riot that broke out when he preached the gospel. Paul did not start the riot. The riot started because there were people that were anti-Jesus and anti the gospel. And so they came and they arrested Paul, and Paul stood before judges to make his case. And the judges, because they worried more about public opinion than about truth, they kept this court going on for years, and then Paul just said, you know what? I'm going to appeal to Caesar. I'm going to appeal to the head of the empire, which was his right as a Roman citizen to do. And so he is now a prisoner on his way to Rome to present the gospel in chains to Caesar. But the cool thing about it is that Paul knew, A, that he was supposed to go to Rome. And some of you right now, you might feel like you have a call or some direction or some vision for your life, but you might be confused about how it's going to happen. And I want to encourage you this morning that just because negative stuff is happening around you pursuing your call, that doesn't mean you're necessarily out of alignment. It doesn't mean that you missed it or God is mad at you. It might actually be confirmation that you're on the right path. Because the Apostle Paul also knew that suffering was gonna come. Actually, in Acts chapter 20, it's some of my life verses. In Acts chapter 20, we see the Apostle Paul. He's kind of doing a rest stop, a stop by in a place called Miletus to meet with the elders of the church in Ephesus. And so they come to meet him there, and the Apostle Paul, he lays it all out for them, because he knows he's never gonna see them again. Because he knows that his life is probably going to end in his pursuit of the call of God on his life. And so in Acts chapter 20, verses 22 and 24, he says, I don't know what's awaiting me. All I know is that in every city, village, and town that I enter, the Holy Spirit tells me that persecutions and hardships and imprisonment are awaiting me. Nobody wants that prophetic word, okay? I believe God is saying you're going to get arrested at work tomorrow. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. People are going to beat you unconscious, glory to God. Nobody wants that prophetic word, okay? But Paul, he understood and he embraced his call, and he said, I don't know what's gonna happen, but I know it's probably not gonna be good. But then he says this, but I consider my life nothing, except that I might finish the race and complete the task for which the Lord Jesus gave me. The task of testifying of his glorious gospel of grace. And so the Apostle Paul is not shaken by the fact that he's a prisoner in chains getting on a boat, because he knows, A, that was a part of the call, and B, going to Rome was a part of the call. And so as they're getting ready to set sail on this ship, the Apostle Paul just kind of has an inclination. I don't know if he heard from God. The scripture doesn't say that he got a word from heaven. But Paul goes to the Roman centurion who was in charge of guarding him and the other prisoners that he was with. And he goes to the captain of the ship and he says, hey guys, I don't think that we should be leaving right now. Because if we do, we're probably going to, he doesn't say probably, he says we are going to suffer loss. The loss of the cargo, the loss of the ship, and maybe even the loss of our lives as well. But you got to remember, Paul is a prisoner rabbi. Who's going to listen to him? Definitely not his prison guard, and definitely not the guy who sails these seas for a living. And so they set out on this journey. And we'll pick up the story here in Acts chapter 27, verse 13, where it says, and when a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. Some translations say they felt as though they had obtained their purpose. And there may be times in your life where the wind is blowing just right, the wind is at your back, the sun is on your face, and it's like, I've obtained my purpose. This is the time to go. Let's dive into this business venture. Let's jump into this new relationship. Let's buy this house or sell this house or do this thing. And you feel like everything is lined up for things to go well. You feel like you've obtained your purpose, and then you weighed anchor and set sail, but before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Nor'easter swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So watch this. We gave way to it and were driven along. And there are going to be times in your life where everything seems right. This is the time to move. This is the time to go. But if you did not listen to what God was saying to you, you might find yourself in a storm even though the day started with sunny skies. But even at times when everything is right and you move, don't discount the fact that the enemy hates you so much and hates what God wants to do in your life and hates the call of God on your life and hates the effect that you're going to bring in the earth for the kingdom of God so much that he will create a storm to cause you to think that something is wrong. And so we see that the storm hits because they weren't listening to God, because that's sometimes the storms that we're in. We didn't listen to God, and here we are. But the thing that I love here is that it says they gave way to it and were driven along. And sometimes you just got to go with what's happening, whether it's God or not. You just kind of got to go with it because you need to trust God in the midst of it. And so as we move through this passage of scripture here, we're going to look at a couple of things that we need to be careful of. Because there are things that when we're caught in storms, that if we're not careful, we will tend to do these things, and they can actually take matters from bad to worse. So we're going to look at some of the things that we tend to do. It's straight out of the text here in Acts chapter 27 that we do when we're in storms, that if we're not aware of it, we can make things from bad to worse. And the first thing is this: we tend to hold on to what we currently have. We tend to hold on to what we currently have. In verses 16 and 17, the verses won't be up there, but you can look in the Bible for yourself. In verses 16 and 17 of Acts chapter 27, it says that as this storm is beating the crap out of the ship. Now you got to put yourself in this, right? I don't want to be on a lake with a boat that drives by and causes it to talk. Man, they're getting pounded by a hurricane on a boat 2,000 years ago. And so it says that when they're in this, they decided, it says, they took the lifeboat, which in those days, the lifeboat wasn't attached to the ship. It was tied to a rope and was pulled behind the ship. And so it says, oh, they grabbed the lifeboat. It says they secured the lifeboat. And that's what a lot of us like to do when we're in storms. I got to hold on to the lifeboat. I got to pull it into the boat. And then it says that they ran ropes underneath the ship because this is a wooden ship. And so they would run ropes underneath the hull of the ship to keep the planks and the boards of the ship from breaking up from the pounding of the waves. See, because it's in the middle of storms that we start often thinking to ourselves, what can I do to help myself? Oh man, would the devil love for you to depend on you? That's the beauty of the gospel. There is nothing in the gospel that depends on you. You bring nothing to the table but your failures, your flaws, and your sin. Jesus does all the work. And so when we start, Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, he was like, if you who came to faith through the power of the Holy Spirit and the righteousness that has been attributed to you, why do you now think you can maintain this with your own efforts? So we start thinking, what can I do to help myself? What can I salvage or sustain in order to ensure my safety and course? See, now I believe that this is a prophetic word for us as a church right now, especially for this location of our church, because we're moving and we don't know where we're gonna go. And a lot of you have been feeling like, oh my goodness, what's happening? Can I tell you something? There is a story. The Bible doesn't make it 12 chapters before God tells us this is how he operates. Because in Genesis chapter 12, it says that God spoke to Abraham and said, leave your country and go to the place I will show you. See, a lot of us live in a world where I want to go to the place that you have shown me. God says, leave where you are to what I will show you. But we can't start trying to hold on to what we currently have, because if we do, it'll keep us trapped in the past, and our now becomes our future, and our now is actually just our past. That's why this whole region is full of empty carcasses called churches. There isn't churches in them anymore. Because there were people holding on to the past. Well, this is the songs we always sang. This is the way we always dressed. This is how we did it. Pastor didn't do with it. See, and I understand that this wanting to take, see, this flies in the face of what we often tell people. Well, you just got to believe your way through it, brother. Yeah, sometimes believing your way through it means you believe that God wants you to go through this storm, not take you out of this storm. Or you got to take authority over it. Yep, sometimes the thing you need to take authority over is your shaking, anxious heart. This flies in the face of, well, you just got to pray and fast your way out of it. Actually, you might need to pray and fast your way deeper into it. Because that's the Bible. That's biblical Christianity. There are times in our lives, watch this, when the direction we want to head is contrary to the direction God wants to take us. Sometimes God's will is that the wind and the waves and the current that you're currently trapped in blows us along despite our best efforts and self-sustaining approaches. Some of you are weary in the storm right now because you're fighting too hard to keep what you currently have, and God cannot put in your hands what he has for you because they're full of what you're trying to hold on to now. And he's saying, let it go and let me. Let it go and let me. See, sometimes we have to learn to be driven along in a direction we don't want to go because we realize that God, can I tell you something? There is not a storm that God is not in control in. Mark chapter 5 tells us, Jesus says, he says to his disciples, come, we gotta go to the other side. Now, this is the lake, the Sea of Galilee, which is just a big lake. Paul and them are on the Mediterranean Sea, an actual ocean with sharks and things that'll bite you. Jesus says to his disciples, come, let's go to the other side. He doesn't tell them where on the other side. He doesn't tell them why they're going. See, some of you, where are we going, Jesus? Why are we going to go? You're like little kids in the back seat. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And so he says, let's go to the other side. This is in Mark chapter, the tail end of Mark 4 and the beginning of Mark 5. And it says that, and they got in the boat with Jesus and took him as he was. That means that Jesus was already in the boat. See, some of the storms that you find yourself in that you can't get yourself out of is because you got in the boat that didn't have Jesus in it. You tried to invite, hey, Jesus, get in my boat and come with me. He said, I ain't going that way. Or you waited till the wind and the waves started. And you're like, Jesus, get me out of the boat. Jesus is like, no, I need you to come and get in this boat. So they start sailing across and a storm hits them. Now you gotta remember, there's 12 disciples, four of the 12, that's one third for all of my eighth grade math majors, are fishermen who grew up on this lake every day. There ain't been a storm they ain't seen except for this one, because it's so crazy, they are fearing for their lives. And they're like, where's Jesus? Jesus, where are you? Some of you are like, where are you, Jesus? Jesus is asleep in the back end of the boat. Well, how dare you, Jesus? Don't you know our life is in danger? See, and I love this passage of scripture because Jesus is actually modeling for us what he wants us and how he wants us to posture ourselves in storms. Stop freaking out, grab a pillow and rest with me. But Jesus knows these are the disciples. They're the first ones. They don't know any better yet. He's teaching them. That's why he's taking them to the other side. He's teaching them how to deal with storms by going through storms. So Jesus wakes up. Yeah. You know, I don't know if your Jesus drools when he sleeps or not, but mine does. Because he's sleeping good. Look, you ain't never had a good sleep that you didn't have a little bit of something on. You know what I'm saying? Don't lie to yourself. So Jesus wakes up and he quiets the storm. He says, be quiet, be still. He doesn't say, oh, great and mighty God and Father of heaven. He just says, shut up, storm. And so even if you can't find yourself in a place where you can rest with him in the storm, you don't got to do all this extra. Some of y'all just doing too much. Just tell the storm to be quiet. And if the storm doesn't shut up, listen to me, purpose in your heart that it's God's will for you to go through the storm because he has something better for you on the other side. See, salvaging your now is what keeps you stuck where you are. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 11 that the kingdom of God advances forcefully. So I want you to picture this right now, because some of you have been in this circumstance in parking lots where you just parked, right, but your car's still running, but the car next to you starts backing out, and you think you're moving forward, right? But you're still. And so if something moving backwards while you're still makes you think you're moving forward, the reverse is true. Something moving forward while you're still will actually make you feel like you're moving backwards. And while the kingdom advances and you're not moving with it, it's actually a regression in your life. Plus, hear me, not everything is meant to come with you into the next season that God is taking you. I'm not talking about ditching good memories and throwing mementos away, but the reality is this. Not everything that is in your life now, in your life now, in your life now is meant to come with you into your life then. Some of you are probably old enough to remember back in the 60s when we were in the space race with the Soviet Union. You remember this? We were all trying to be the first one to get to the moon, right? And back then, they didn't have, like, space shuttles, right? They had these long, tall, cylindrical rockets. Do you remember these things? If you don't, just Google rockets. See, and the crazy thing, these things were, like, many, many, many stories tall. Super-duper tall things. But the crazy thing about it was the only part of that vehicle that was intended to make the whole trip was the little tiny part at the top. Because the rest of the rocket were boosters that were filled with fuel. Because in order to escape Earth's gravity, you have to achieve an acceleration level of about 11 meters per second squared, because Earth's gravitational pull is negative 9.8 meters per second squared. And in order to achieve an acceleration of that level, you need a lot of force. And to create that kind of force, you have to have a lot of fuel to fuel the engines that make that force. And so the rocket, you've seen, and I mean, that thing's blasting and it's hardly moving, right? And then eventually it starts to hit the acceleration and it starts going. And it's slow. And then it starts getting a little bit more speed. And then something crazy happens. The bottom part of the rocket stops making thrust, detaches from the rest of the rocket, and falls to the earth. And then another one kicks in, and then, oh, now you're going. And it does that several times. It's called the stages of a rocket. See, and a lot of times in our life, you have to understand this. The thing that provided the thrust to get you to the level that you're at will someday have to drop off and fall to the earth, because if it doesn't, it will drag you back down. Not everything is meant to come with you into the next season. Not everybody in your life right now is meant to be with you at the finish line. I remember being at a pastor's conference in Florida, and it's about 10, 12 years ago, Joyce Meyer was there. And some of you are familiar with Joyce Meyer, right? Amazing Bible teacher, speaker. And I loved it because she started her talk by saying, and I can hear Joyce's voice in my head, and she's like, I'm going to assume I'm speaking to pastors so I don't have to put this soft snuggle gloves on that I usually have to. And she starts going in on us, man. And she tells about a time as her ministry was growing, right? And it felt like people were just like leaving her life. People that she, that like not just she thought would be with her forever, but really helped her to get where she was. And she said the Lord spoke to her one time and he said, I want you to go and get on the bus, the public transit bus. So she goes and she sits down on the bus and she's not familiar with buses. And so the Lord speaks to her while she's on the bus because she's driving along and he says, do you understand what I'm trying to show you right now? She says, no, Lord. And she said, when you got on the bus, there were people on the bus. And some of those people have gotten off. And she said, also while you were on the bus, there were people who weren't on the bus when you got on, and they've gotten on. And he began to explain to her, the only person that stays on the whole bus the whole time is the bus driver. And there's going to be people and things in your life that are there now before you got there, but they won't be there at the end of the route. And there'll be people you don't even know. You have no idea all of the amazing resources and assets and networking connections and all the things God has for you in the future. But if you spend so much of your time holding on to the now, you will never know. That's why we need faith. That's why we need to trust God to go to the land he will show us. The second thing we tend to do when we're caught in a storm, and this is kind of connected to the first, is we try to take matters into our own hands, right? How many of you have ever been a passenger in a car and you fell asleep and like for whatever reason you snapped to because you thought you were gonna wreck and you reached for the wheel? That's how most of y'all ride in a car with Jesus, as if he can't drive the car, as if you can help him drive the car. I want you to, when you leave here today, actually no, wait till you're out of this lot because I don't want the insurance liability. I want you, once you get off prop, to get in your passenger seat and try to drive the car from there. And you tell me how that works out for you. Well, I can't reach the pedals, Pastor. Yeah, you can't make it go unless you're in the driver's seat, let alone steer it. And so we'll try to take matters into our own hands. And so here in Acts chapter 27, we're going to fast forward a little bit because they end up being, hear me, they end up being trapped in this storm for 2 weeks. Like, how many of you saw the Odyssey movie, or at least saw commercials for it? Nobody. None of you are on social media at all. Good. You're all liars. We're going to pray for you at the end. Don't worry. When you Google Odyssey movie, and you'll see the kind of boat they were on. In a hurricane for 2 weeks. You can't see the sun in the day. You can't see the stars at night. And you kind of need those to navigate in the first century. And so they've been trapped in a storm at sea. Like, it ain't like, man, I need to get off this boat. Where are you going to go? There's sharks. And so in this moment, some of the sailors, the professional dudes, the guys that have seen storms before, they can't take it anymore and they start to panic. And so in verse 29 of Acts 27, it says, fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, i.e. take matters into their own hands. Jesus, I can't trust you anymore. Your driving record's too perfect. The sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Because not only do you start taking matters into your own hands, you start getting into to self-preservation mode. And you're like, forget everybody else. Doesn't matter if there's other people that need me on this ship. But here's the thing. When you've been trapped in a storm for what feels like forever, and it feels like all hope is lost, I want you to hear something today. It's natural to try to find your own way out. It's why I'm teaching you this right now. Because your natural move is going to be to take matters into your own hands. That's going to be your default setting. Because somehow, some way along the line in your life, you convinced yourself that you are your best asset. Not God, not other people, you. But see, this is when we have to remember that God is still with us. He's not abandoned us. See, when we feel like running and abandoning ship, abandoning our call, abandoning our purpose, abandoning Jesus, abandoning our family, abandoning the church, sometimes what we need to do is we need to cut the cord of every plan B in our life and every attempt in our own strength, and we need to trust that God is able to safely carry us through. Because look at what Paul says to them in verse 31. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. Look, sometimes the most intuitive thing to do is take matters into our own hands, but the counterintuitive thing to do is to cut the lifeboat. You don't need a lifeboat when you're in a boat with Jesus. You don't need a plan B. You just need to lean in, trust God. And that leads to the third thing that we tend to do when we're trapped in storms. We forget to eat. Allow me to explain after I read this passage. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat, right? Because you've been trapped in a storm for 2 weeks, your stomach's turned. Plus, anytime you've been in a storm in your life, what's the one of the first, you don't have an appetite anymore, right? So Paul urged them all to eat. He says, for the last 14 days, you have been in constant suspense and gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. Watch this. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. After he said this, he took some bread. And those of you that are familiar with the scriptures, this is going to sound familiar to you. He took some bread, gave thanks to God in front of them all, and broke it and began to eat. This is the Eucharist. This is communion. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. And while I do encourage you to physically eat, because like it's hard to manage a ship in the storm on an empty stomach. But first and foremost, storms are often the times when people fall away from God or abandon God because they feel like God has abandoned them. But storms are the times when we have to lean into God and eat. What do I mean? Get in the Word of God. When Jesus had fasted for 40 days in the desert and the enemy waited until he was hungry, he came to Jesus and the first temptations he gave Jesus, first he challenged Jesus' identity, if you are the Son of God. And that's what he's going to whisper to you when you're in the storm. If God really loved you, if you were really his child. But he says, if you are the Son of God, you could turn these stones into bread. And Jesus could have done it. But Jesus quoted scripture back to him. He says, but it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And when you're trapped in a storm, the first thing you start, man, your Bible time disappears. Your prayer time disappears. Your fellowship time, being around godly people who will not only encourage you, but they'll pray with you and for you. All of that stuff goes away. And so when you're in a storm, you need to eat. You need to lean into the things of God. Because I want you to catch something real quick. Airplanes don't take off with the wind. They take flight against the wind. And maybe, just maybe, God purposed this storm in your life not to destroy you, but to give you lift to the next level. It's not with the wind that we take flight in our lives. It's when the wind is in our face and we position ourselves in the right way to elevate above the wind. There's a story I heard, and I think it's true. So if there's any zoologists out there, you can correct me if I'm wrong. But I remember watching a podcast one time, and these two guys, they were talking about dealing with trauma in your life. Trauma is a real thing. Trauma is actually the memories that you will go to in a storm if you don't have God logic in your brain. Trauma reminds you of what's happened to you. God's word reminds you of what is happening and is going to happen for you. But in this podcast, the one guy says, have you ever heard about cows and buffaloes in storms? The other guy's like, no. For those of you, like, cows and buffaloes, they usually, they're free-range animals. And so they live in you know, flat areas where there tends to be a lot of, like, sudden storms. And I mean, they're, like, violent. And he says, both of them are able to sense a storm when it's coming. But see, cows, when they sense a storm, they sense the storm and they begin to run away from the storm. They start running and running and running. The problem is, no matter how hard or how fast they run, the storm always catches up to them. And by the time the storm reaches them, they're now more tired than they would have been had they just stayed still. And so the storm hits them at a time when they're exhausted and they're depleted. And because they keep trying to move forward in the same direction of the storm, it prolongs their time in the storm. But buffalo are different. See, when buffalo sense a storm, they don't run from it, they run towards it. Because as they run into the storm moving this way, it actually shortens the amount of time that they're in the storm because they're going the opposite direction of the storm. And not only does it shorten the amount of time that they're in the storm, once the storm passes, all the things that the buffalo needs, water and fresh grass, are in abundance because the storm provided it. See, when you're in a storm, lean into the things of God. Run into it with Jesus. Because not only will you make it through quicker, you'll find everything you need for the next level on the other side. Amen? I'm going to have Caden come up. I'm going to wrap this thing up. And if you haven't gotten it yet, I'm going to make it plain as I can as we close here. So how do you navigate negativity? How do you navigate uncertainty? How do you navigate difficulty in your life when you don't have control? You trust God. Trust God. John chapter 14, Jesus just told his disciples, man, I'm getting ready to go away. And his message to them was, trust God, trust also in me. I go ahead of you to prepare. To prepare a place for you. If you're in a storm and you feel like Jesus isn't there, it might be because he's on the other side preparing a place for you. But then he says, and I will come back and I will get you and take you to be with me so that you may be with me where I am. But it's about trusting God. It's about trusting God. And this is what we see happens in the rest of our story here in Acts chapter 27, verse 39. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land. See, once you come out of the storm and God gets you to that next season, it's going to be unfamiliar to you because God took you to a new level. And so you've all got to learn how to navigate in this new space. But they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided, watch this, to run the ship aground if they could. See, that ship that you're trying to sustain and hold on to actually might be the thing that needs to go away so that you can get to the next season of your life. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea. They stopped trying to take things with them that they currently had. And at the same time, they untied the ropes that held the rudders. Them trying to take matters into their own hands is now what needs to be undone. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. Watch this. The bow, that's the front of the ship, it stuck fast and would not move. And the stern, that's the back end, was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners because escaped prisoners meant they would be killed. To prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul. There are people in your life that you don't even know are on your side that God is going to use to spare you in the midst of the storm. And he kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. And watch this. The rest were to get there on planks or other pieces of the ship. And in this way, everyone reached land safely. I want to give you a prophetic picture for your life right now as you're maybe even feel like your ship is running aground. The Bible just told us that the bow of the ship stuck fast and could not move. The front of the ship is a prophetic sign of your future. It's fixed in God. It's stuck fast and nothing can move it but Jesus himself. But it also said the stern was broken to pieces by this pounding of the surf. The stern is your past. And God is wiping it away because your future is secure. But then I love this because it said the people who couldn't swim, they got to shore. How? By floating on pieces of the ship that had been destroyed. There may be parts of your past that God is going to allow you to hold on to carry you safely into the next season. But the moment you reach shore, you gotta leave them things in the sea because your future's secure. And the thing I love most about this passage of scripture is this. After they got to shore, the Bible says that they had to build a fire because it was stormy and they were all soaked. And this is where we see the story of the viper jumping out of the fire and biting Paul. That's because the fires of revival always provoke the enemy to play his hand too soon. And it says that Paul shook the viper off. Just, get out of here, snake. But that's not even the part that I love the most. It says that after the islanders, the people that lived on the island saw this, they said, man, this dude must be a god. Because it started off like this dude must have the gods angry at him because why would this happen to him? And so when they saw this supernatural miracle, they took Paul to the leader of their island who was sick. And Paul healed him. And then they started bringing all the sick and Paul started healing him. And there he shared the gospel with them and they all got saved. And not only was there already another ship on that island waiting to take them to Rome, but the thing I love the most about this scripture is that the name of that island then is the same name of that island today, Malta. And on the island of Malta, on February 10th, they call it St. Paul's Day, where they celebrate the day that the gospel came to their island, where God loved their island enough to shipwreck one of his servants so that this servant could preach the gospel to them. And they rejoice in the fact. See, your storms are your storms, but they might be somebody else's salvation if you just hold fast and trust God in the middle of it. To this day, the island of Malta is 96% Christian. What? See, God's doing something in your life, but he's also doing something in everybody else's life. And he wants you to play a part in what he's doing in the earth. So right now, here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna invite our prayer teams to come up. Because how can you not hear a message like this and then give people an opportunity to come and have some people lay hands on them and pray with them for whatever storm they're in, whatever uncertainty they're facing, whatever negativity that they're navigating. And so that's what we're gonna do. That's what we're gonna do till we're done. And so here's a couple of things. First and foremost, if you are a parent with children in Bridge City Kids, they can't be released until they are checked back out to you. So I'd encourage you, if you want your kids to come in for this moment, you can go get them right now. And so the way we do this here is, if you would like prayer, we're going to open up the altars and we're going to ask you to file into one of these two center aisles. And our ushers will direct you to a prayer partner as soon as that one becomes available. And trust me, these are trained and equipped people. They're going to pray short, powerful prayers so that we can pray for everybody that wants prayer, but they're going to pray for everybody that wants prayer. So get you some prayer today. Get you some prayer. But if you got to get going, no harm, no foul. We would just ask that you would depart whenever you feel led, quietly so as to not disturb what's going on, and that you would depart in the grace and love of Jesus Christ, knowing that there is no storm bigger than God, and God will get you through the storm because he has a purpose on your life. And so right now, if you would like prayer, I'm gonna invite you to just come and start lining up in these two center aisles. You just come on out. And as you come, maybe you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, i.e. you're not in Jesus's boat. You have not accepted him as Lord and Savior. Now's a good moment to do that. And so if that's you, if you want to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, the forgiver of your past, the leader to your future, then right now, here's what we're gonna do. You have an opportunity to make that decision first and foremost by just getting up from your seat and letting the prayer partner know that. I need Jesus. Before you pray for all the other stuff, I need you to pray with me to receive Jesus. Or you know what you can do? You can take your mobile device, you can tap it up against that black circle on the seat back in front of you and scroll down to the button that says, I want to know Jesus. And you can just click that and follow the prompts there and someone will connect with you that way. But don't leave this place with prayer, but not with Jesus. Get Jesus and then get prayer. And so right now the altars are open. You can come on up. Our prayer partners are gonna pray. If you just wanna sit in here, that's fine as well. You can just sit and drink it in. But if not, this is the informal dismissal. Mary T's heading back to the connection point where she's there to meet you. If this is your first time and you filled out a connection card, if you didn't fill out a connection card, no worries. She can give one to you, or you can just click that tap card, that black circle on the seat in front of you, and click the connection card there, fill it out, take it back. She's got a gift for you. The altars are open. You're welcome to stay. You're welcome to roll. But know that Jesus loves you, and he always has a great plan for your life. God bless you.